Like to welcome everyone to our special harvest service this evening. It's great to see everyone that's gathered out. There are a number of people visiting with us, and I'd like to give you a very special welcome indeed. And may every one of us know the presence and the blessing of the Lord this evening. In Psalm 126, in the verse 3, the psalmist said, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." And those that were here for the services yesterday morning and yesterday evening, we're able to thank the Lord for what He's done for us in that physical and temporal way with the harvest itself. But we're also able to thank the Lord for that greatest gift that He's given, His only begotten and much beloved Son. And this evening, every one of us have much to thank the Lord for. We're going to commence our time together this evening with the singing of hymn number 736 in the hymn book. If you have a hymn book and you wish to use that, then that is the hymn number, but otherwise the words are on the screen in front of you. Sing to the Lord of harvest. Sing songs of love and praise with joyful hearts and voices. Your hallelujahs raise. I encourage you to think upon the words and let's sing them this evening in thankfulness to our Creator and to our Savior for all of His love to us. We'll stand to sing after the musical introduction. From their heart for the bountiful physical harvest. But I wonder, can you thank the Lord for His salvation? In that final verse, we spoke about Christ, who when we wandered, how Christ restored us with His blood. And can you truthfully say this evening that you have been saved and you're thankful not merely for the Lord's physical blessings and His temporal blessings, but you're thankful for those spiritual and eternal blessings in Christ. You know them personally. Well, may the Lord help us all to know those things experientially and to give our all to Him who gave His all for us. Let's bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon every aspect of the meeting this evening. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this evening which Thou hast blessed us with. We thank You, Father, for enabling each one to come out tonight. Thank You, Father, for the measure of health and strength that You've also given to us. And Father, I pray that as Thou hast gathered us out this evening, that Thou wouldst be pleased to pour out a blessing upon us this evening. Father, surely it is Thy desire that Thy word tonight, in what is sung, in what is read, and in what is preached, that it would not go forth merely in word only, but also in power, and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Father, it is the prayer of Thy people tonight that every one of us would see our beloved Savior. We see, Father, Thine only begotten and much beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the one who left the realms of glory 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, to come into this earth as fully God and fully man. And there, Father, living a life that we could never live and would never live. Jesus Christ lived a spotless and perfect life, that we could be covered with that perfect righteousness. And Jesus Christ also then went to the cross. And Father, He then shed His precious blood, satisfying Thy wrath in our place, the place of sinners, the place of everyone tonight, Lord, who has rebelled against God, and who then will see their sin and turn unto Christ for in faith and in repentance. Father, I thank You for Christ who shed His precious blood. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we would see that by faith. And Lord, that we would love Christ. And Lord, that we would surrender our all to Him, for He's worthy of every bit of it. Father, we thank You for our Savior. We thank You, Father, that salvation is freely offered to all tonight. And Lord, I pray that those that are lost in their sin, Lord, that they would see their need to be saved. But Lord, they would see the salvation that is freely there in Jesus Christ. They don't need to pay for it. They don't need to earn it. Christ has done all that's necessary. And Father, may they see this evening not merely Thy many blessings in this temporal, physical way with the vegetables and with the fruit, but Father, may they see the greatest blessing of all, salvation in Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, may every one of us tonight be thankful, trusting in Christ as Savior and showing our thankfulness to Him, not to earn anything, but simply in thankfulness by giving our all to Him, for He has given all for us. Father, He gave His life, He gave His time, He gave His energy, He gave His very blood. Father, help us to give our all to Him, who lives now in the power of an endless life, has been raised from the dead the third day, and Lord, ever living to pray for us. Well, Father, help us to see His love, that we would love Him. Lord, undertake for Ruth as she will come to sing. Undertake, Father, for Thy servant as he will come to bring Thy precious word later on. May every aspect of this evening exalt our Savior. Exalt the salvation that is to be found in Him. And Father, may Thy Holy Spirit do a work in every heart tonight. We're very thankful for those that are young. We're very thankful for those that are older. And I pray, Father, that a work will be done tonight in every heart. Advance the work of Thy beloved Son in justification and sanctification. Advance His work. Lord, we thank You for our many blessings. And Father, while Christ is the greatest gift of all, we thank that even because of Him, Lord, we can be thankful for these many temporal blessings. We can be thankful for the vegetables and for the fruit. Lord, we can be thankful even for our families and for our friends. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we have blessing upon blessing. Lord, help us to see that it's all come because of Christ. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. It's my delight to welcome this evening our sister Ruth McRoberts. I'm going to invite her to come and to sing her first two messages in song. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing to you.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads children I long. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all day long. Though sorrows befall us and evils oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Consider toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
The evidence of God's grace and God's goodness is all around us. May the Lord ever help us to see the many blessings that He has given to us. They're not merely an end in and of themselves, but simply an instrument that we would consider Him, who He is, and what He's done for us, temporally as well as eternally. If you have a copy of the Word of God, could I ask you please to turn to John's Gospel and the chapter 12? If you don't have a copy of God's Word, then please feel free just to listen. But John's Gospel and the chapter 12. In this chapter, we have one of the greatest feasts of the Jewish people, the feast known as Passover, held there in the city of Jerusalem, where many thousands of people from all around the world, Jewish people, would have gathered. And in verse 20, we find that not merely were there Jewish people there, but there were Greeks there, and they have a certain desire. But John's Gospel, chapter 12, and with this context and the scene in mind of Christ in Jerusalem, with these thousands of people, let us read and listen to the very Word of God. John 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Amen. We'll end the reading at verse 28 of the chapter. I'm going to sing one further message and song. If you have a hymn book, it's hymn number 732. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. And again, we'll stand to sing after the musical introduction. Again, encourage you to think upon the words and let's sing them with our hearts unto the Lord. singing for your supper. But you'll be glad to know that there is supper after the service this evening, and everyone is very welcome to stay behind for a time of fellowship and enjoy the good things that, while the Lord has provided, yet that some of the ladies from the congregation have prepared. And certainly may the Lord be pleased to bless that time of fellowship, and may make this take this opportunity to thank the ladies for all that they have done in preparing and providing food this evening. In terms of announcements, may I just say that tomorrow night there will be the Bible study tomorrow at 8 p.m. And then there is the Lord's Day service at 11:30 in the morning and 7 o'clock on the Lord's Day evening. Yesterday we had students from the Whitfield College of the Bible. We had 3 in the morning and 3 in the evening. They led the services, they testified, and they brought a message from God. And I can personally say that I was blessed in my own heart, both in the morning and the evening. And I no doubt that there were others who were greatly blessed as well. And it is our delight and privilege to have Reverend Timothy Nelson, who is the principal of our college, with us this evening. And he'll be bringing God's word in just a moment or two. But there will be a retiring offering this evening. There will be baskets in the foyer. If you haven't come prepared, then don't worry. It's not that you have to pay to come to the meeting this evening. But if you would like to give voluntarily to support the training of men and women for the service of the Lord, for missionary work, and training men for the mission, for the ministry, well, certainly there is that opportunity for you whenever it comes to an offering there at the baskets in the foyer. But again, it's great to see so many out this evening, and great to see those that regularly attend, and to see visitors as well. And the Lord continue to bless us this evening as we think upon God's wonderful gifts. I'm just going to invite our sister Ruth to come and to sing her final message in song.
Is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time, fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. Be you be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Fairest flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have not long to stay. Be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom. Be in time. Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Sinner, heed the voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Come from darkness into light, Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time.
Our sister has sung of the love of God in offering salvation, the care of God whenever you come to the Lord in salvation. But yet in that final message, she sung of the opportunity that God gives. And perhaps there's someone here tonight, and God's Spirit is bidding you come. As we learned yesterday morning in our morning service, take that as encouragement. It's God who does the seeking, and he's seeking you tonight if you're lost in your sin. But take that as encouragement. Because God's seeking you, well, surely he's not going to reject you if you come to him. He will welcome you and receive you with open arms because of Christ, who's done all that's necessary for our salvation. I want to thank your sister very much for the message and song, and the Lord continue to speak on through the truths that were presented. It's my delight to welcome Reverend Nelson. The Lord richly bless you and make you be a blessing to us tonight. Thank you.
I'd like to ask you to turn to the portion in God's Word that was read a short time ago, the Gospel according to John, and the chapter 12. I'd like to begin by thanking Mr. Foster for his very kind words of welcome and for the invitation to come along and to be a part of this harvest weekend. I also want to thank you, all of you, for your prayerful and practical support of the Whitfield College. That is most vital, and it is heartily appreciated. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your interest in this aspect of God's work. And I'm glad to hear that the visit of the students yesterday was enjoyed. I trust that it was a blessing. And having seen at least some of the current student body, you will be able then to pray more knowledgeably for them. And I encourage you to do that. We so much value your continued remembrance of the work of the college in these days. It is, as Mr. Foster has said, a vital work, a most necessary work as we think of the future of our church, the future of its witness and its ministry, and all its endeavors. So please continue the good work before the Lord on our behalf. With God's word before us this evening, perhaps we could just bow for a moment's prayer. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence once again tonight. We do so being thankful for all that has gone forth already in this gathering. We thank thee for the occasion of our being here, for the worship that has been offered to thee, for the contribution made by our sister in song. And as we come now to thy word just now, we pray that thou wilt open the word to us and open our hearts to the word. We cry to thee for the help of the Holy Spirit, for that divine enablement that is so necessary every time we come to the Scriptures. Remember the prayer that was offered by thy servant of old, who said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open our eyes tonight, we pray. Speak to me, and speak through me. Use me according to thy will, We ask it now in the Saviour's name. Amen. Nature is a great teacher, and harvest time is one chapter in the book of nature. It is a chapter from which many lessons may be learned. It may be countered that Scripture is a better teacher, indeed the best teacher, and in an absolute sense that is true. But it is Scripture that instructs us to consult nature and to look there for evidences of the character, the mind, and the will of God. Paul reminds us of this very powerfully in those words that are found in the opening chapter of the book of Romans. In the words of the verse 20, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is Paul showing us that if we have but eyes to see what is around us in the natural world, we cannot but learn something of God, who is the creator of this world. The greatest tutor of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, often appealed to the natural world as he sought to communicate heavenly and spiritual truth. And of course, he did it in a most compelling and arresting manner. Sometimes the metaphor is extended and a detailed line of teaching advanced. On other occasions, it is a short statement, no more than a sentence, before swiftly moving to the application. And that is the case in the words of our text this evening. I commend to your attention the words spoken by the Lord Jesus, recorded for us in verse 24 of John chapter 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." A corn of wheat. I want to take that simple image as the basis of my message tonight. A corn of wheat. As we think of this tiny object and its place in a wonderful natural process, I draw your attention to four things. First of all, I'd like you to see with me tonight the death related here. The death related. The words of the Savior, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." What happens? What happens to this tiny seed after it is sown? Well, it begins to sprout, putting forth a tender shoot. And if the plant is strong and healthy, this grows and develops as the season advances. And of course, it changes as it grows. We have reference made to that in another of the Gospels, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And the words of verse 28, there we read, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." So you see, at last it culminates in the matured and ripened plant. Now the point is, if you were to take up a single corn of wheat and examine it, you would find that the original grain from which it sprang had all but vanished. The remains of it would be there at the root, but in a state of decay, almost entirely rotted away. And so in the process of reproduction, the seed itself has perished, passing on its life, its strength, and its energy into the young plant. The seed has formed the living shoot, and it has fed and nourished it by its own decay. And this, essentially, is what the text is saying. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The lesson is that self-sacrifice is the secret of power and usefulness and success. Self-sacrifice. We see this in every area of life and in every aspect of human experience. The scholar and his studies, the entrepreneur and his business, the athlete and his race. There is toil and anguish and sweat and sacrifice. These things are called for in all of these endeavors and in 1,000 more. And the Lord Jesus Christ applies the principle on this occasion to the subject of discipleship. Discipleship. What it means to be his disciple. Look at the context. Look at how it continues into the next verse. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Alongside what the Savior is saying here, you can set those memorable words recorded in Luke's Gospel chapter 14, and near to the end of that chapter, Luke 14 and the verse 26, the Savior said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be. Now mark it, he cannot be my disciple. The language may jar. We are shocked by it. But the Savior's point is that our love for him, if we are his disciples, truly his disciples, our love for him will be so focused, so single-minded, so undivided, that it may appear as hate for others, though it is not necessarily so. We sacrifice ourselves and our own earthly interests, whatever that entails, in order to put Christ first. And I tell you tonight, my friend, that is the call of discipleship. That is what it really means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. To put him first. To put him first. Dear child of God, in this meeting this evening, do you know anything of that kind of sacrifice? Self-sacrifice. Putting Christ first. Of course, we may well make the observation that the supreme example of self-sacrifice is the Savior himself. He was that corn of wheat which fell into the ground and died, that he might win life for all who would follow him. And as the passage continues to move towards its close, we find the Savior making reference to that very thing. Look at it, if you will, John 12 and the verse 32, the Savior says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. So the Savior brings them to reflect upon his own death. And the fact that he would be lifted up on that cross and yield his life in the ultimate act of self-sacrifice so that he might redeem the souls of all his disciples. The death related here. But then let's look again, if we may, this evening. Let me point out, secondly, the diligence revealed. The diligence revealed. One thing we must not miss as we look at this little corn of wheat is its diligence in using opportunity. Now, let me ask you this question. Where does all the material for the tall stalk and the full ear come from? Where does it come from? Not from the little seed sown and nowhere else, but from the soil and the air and the dew and the rain and the sunshine, which the living plant assimilates and makes its own. There it is, insignificant in itself, unobservable in its obscurity, but all the while extracting from the earth and its environment the necessary elements for its future growth, making full use of every opportunity and every resource. I wonder, can we say that we are so diligent in the pursuit of those opportunities that come our way? What about that, believer? God opens doors for us and provides the wherewithal for us to go through those doors. Are we always ready and willing to redeem these opportunities? Or do we hold back? Are we fearful, unbelieving? Or is it the truth that we are so much absorbed with our own agenda that we're not thinking about the path which the Lord has opened out before us? This is a matter of the utmost importance. Remember those words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ? They're recorded just a page or two back here in John's Gospel, the chapter 9, and near to the head of that chapter, the Savior put it like this, speaking of his own mission. In John 9, verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Here's the Savior indicating that he had a work to do and that he had a time in which to do that work. And I say to you, child of God, in this meeting tonight, those words are as true of you and me as they were of Christ. We have work to do in this world, and we have a time in which to do that work. And the night is drawing in, and the days of opportunity are slipping by. Do we readily employ those talents and resources that have been given to us in the cause of Christ? Or are they somehow buried, unappreciated, and unused? How diligent are you, believer, in doing the work of Christ? It may be, of course, that I'm speaking to someone in this meeting this evening, and truth be told, you are yet without Christ. But my dear friend, the fact that you are here in this gathering without Christ does not mean that you have been devoid of opportunities. You have not. What of the opportunities to receive Christ? The opportunities that have come and gone in your life. Here we are on another harvest evening, and another season of opportunity is upon you. But how many opportunities have come and gone? Those opportunities are really gone. They are gone forever. You can't bring them back. But tonight, this is also a season of opportunity. I wonder if you will come to Christ I wonder if you will recognize before God that you have a deep spiritual need, a need that cannot be met from out of your own resources or from anything that any other mortal being can provide. But only Christ. Will you come to Christ? Will you receive Him tonight? The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come, my friend, he will not turn you aside. He will receive you. Oh, be diligent in this matter. The eternal destiny of your soul is at stake. Notice with me, thirdly, the destiny realized here. The destiny realized. That little grain of seed fulfills its destiny. It accomplishes the intention of the Creator. It does the very thing it was sent into the world to do. How many there are in this age who fail to realize the purpose of their existence, frittering away their time and talents in selfish and idle occupations. Again, of course, in contrast to all of that, we said the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may remember what the Savior said. And again, we have memorable words, this time just a bit further over in John's Gospel. The chapter 17 contains for us the remarkable prayer that the Savior offered to His Father, a prayer that was essentially taken up with the interests of His church and His people. But in the early part of that prayer, we find these words, John 17:4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And Christian friend, in this gathering tonight, it must be the object of us all to identify with those words. Think about what the Savior is saying. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I wonder, can we say that this evening? Would to God those words might represent our testimony as we come to the end of the journey that God has given to us. God has something for us all to do. That it's only as we engage in that work that we will glorify Him as He intends and know the joy of spiritual fulfillment. You'll never be satisfied spiritually. You'll never know what it is to live to the fulfillment of God's purpose unless you are rightly related to God, and that right relationship is only possible through Christ. The Catechism reminds us at the very outset that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What do you know, my dear friend, about glorifying God? It's only when you are about the business of glorifying God that you will be able to enjoy Him. Dear unbeliever, God made man for a relationship with Him. Sin has destroyed that relationship, but Christ has restored it, and it is through Christ, only through Christ, that you will realize your destiny. Augustine had it right when he said, our souls are restless until they find their rest in Thee. There's no true rest, there's no peace, there's no satisfaction in this troubled world outside of a true and living relationship with God. And I emphasize to you again this evening, the only way you can experience that relationship is through Jesus Christ and personal trust in Him. Coming to that critical moment in your life when realizing your need, acknowledging your sin, you turn your back on all of that and you come away to Christ and receive Him as your Savior and your Lord. And you take the first steps down that road that will mean a life that glorifies Him. The destiny realized. But then notice the fourth thing here this evening, the dependence required. The dependence required. The text, of course, talks about a corn of wheat. I'm sure you're perhaps familiar with the saying, one swallow does not make a summer. Well, we might just as easily say one grain does not make a harvest. But millions, each effecting the same purpose and working for the same end, achieve a mighty result. Well, yes, that corn of wheat by itself is insignificant and almost worthless. Why? It would hardly provide a meal for the tiniest bird pecking amid the stubble. But together with the other seeds, together with all the others, it produces field upon field of waving corn, a harvest to feed the world. Christian, you can see the application, can you not? Our efforts in doing the work of God individually and independently are puny and pathetic and apparently pointless. But together, standing shoulder to shoulder with our fellow believers, playing our part in the great enterprise of gospel witness, what may not be achieved with God's help? What may not be achieved? This is the very point that Paul was at pains to make when he wrote early in his first letter to the church at Corinth. And of course, one of the great problems with that church at Corinth was that they were not together. They were not standing side by side and shoulder to shoulder. That was not how things were. And there was conflict and division and strife. And one gloried in his own achievements and despised the achievements of his brother. And Paul challenged them about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And breaking in, we have the same kind of image that we're focusing on this evening. 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He wants to emphasize to them this vital thought of togetherness.
Doing the work alongside your fellow believer. He doesn't say that the planting is not necessary. He doesn't say that the watering is likewise unnecessary. Not at all. He just wishes with all his heart that these people would put these things in proper perspective. That they would realize they all had a part to play. And when they did that, the Lord would come alongside and give the increase. Give the increase. And as you reflect upon your service for the Lord this evening, dear child of God, you may often be beset by doubts and fears. You may often think that what you're doing is of no account. You're wasting your time. You've given year upon year to a particular task. You have seen precious little fruit. Where is the harvest? There has been sowing and sowing and more sowing. There has been watering, but where is the harvest? Well, Paul would encourage you again in those words that are recorded for us over in Galatians chapter 6 and the words of the verse 9, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, the Lord has his due season. We don't necessarily know when that due season is. That's all in the Lord's hands. Meantime, we're not to be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Well, the context makes it clear. It's about the sowing of the seed. It's about continuing to go forth and scatter that gospel seed, doing what you can in the interest of the kingdom. And the promise is that there will be a reaping. Don't faint. Don't stop. Don't be discouraged. Keep on. Keep on, Christian. Play your part in this great collective endeavor. I wonder, my friend, do you have a place in this? Do you know Christ? Are you laboring for Him? The truth of the matter is that every single person in this meeting this evening is a servant. We mightn't like to be described in those terms necessarily, but we're all servants. The dividing line is made according to whom we serve. We either serve sin and self and ultimately Satan, or we serve Christ. In whose service are you tonight? Whose service are you? I urge you to be wise and to invest your efforts for eternity. May God help you, and may God bless His word to every heart this evening.
We're going to sing one final song. It's hymn number 50. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. I want to thank the Lord's servant for that very timely message to us all this evening. And may the Spirit of God write those truths upon our hearts. It will not simply go away this evening saying, wasn't that interesting? It will go away saying, was the Word of God transforming, changing our lives upon hearing the gospel of Christ? You may say, well, where will I get the strength to be changed? Let us think upon now the faithfulness of God. He is faithful that calleth you who also will do it. We'll stand to sing after the musical introduction, please.
Thank you.
continue standing as we close in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, I pray that thy words would please to give us grace this evening to realize that we all make a choice where we stand tonight, whether we will be those that, for the days that remain of the life that thou dost give us, spending it, dying to self, and living on to Christ, the one who gave himself for us, that we would have life, abundant and eternal in him. Or Father, whether we would choose to spend the remainder of our days for self, for sin, and indeed for Satan. Father, may we have grace tonight to realize the importance of this meeting tonight and the challenge that has been brought. But Father, may you give us also grace then, not merely to realize the decision and choice that we must make, but Father, give us grace then to make the right choice. And Father, day by day, to ever see and consider the love of Christ to us, that we would be inspired and motivated then to give our all to him. Father, may the love of Christ ever constrain us, seeing the salvation and forgiveness once and for all that's in him, and then the faithfulness of God and the strength of the Spirit to uphold us and to lead us and to take us and to change us. Father, may we see that the strength is not in us, but is in thee. And that thou art indeed the faithful God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Bless thy word. Transform my life through thy word tonight. And every heart we pray. Giving thanks for now the good things provided. Praying that thou wouldst bless our time of fellowship. Lord, that it would not take away the good seed that's been sown of thy word. That the fellowship, Father, would water that seed. And Lord, that together we'll be built up in our most holy and precious feet. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. As mentioned earlier on, there is supper provided. And if you're able to wait behind, there will be cups being provided for you and also supper then brought to you. And if you're able to stay for the fellowship, the Lord richly bless it. And bless our time together. But if you must go, then I'll be at the door for a moment or two, and I'll see you there.